I remember I was about 6 years old or so, and I bought my older sister, she's 9 years older than me, some lip gloss for Christmas. And it wasn't very big, about an inch or two, and it had this slide top, and I was really excited about getting this Christmas gift from my sister. Only, I put it in a small box, inside a bigger box, inside an even bigger box, and then the most biggest box I could find, I put it in there. And she thought she was getting a really big present from her little brother. And I was really excited because Christmas morning came and she opened the biggest box and of course there's the smaller one. And, you know, she kind of did an eye roll, then she opened that one, and then another eye roll. and then, you know, I'm sitting there like a little kid. And finally, right, she revealed another box and then finally the box with the gift. You know, I thought it was funny. I thought it was clever. I thought I was the first to ever do that in the whole world. But she probably thought it was annoying, my little brother, right? Right, the eye roll, okay. And well, fast forward to today. I love to open Christmas gifts and birthday gifts. Some of you, maybe you find the edge of a gift and you slowly put your finger in there and you open it and you're like really on both sides and you carefully open it up because you're going to reuse it, or maybe you're going to, I don't know, you're going to preserve the wrapping paper and collect it. You know, I don't know, but we like to open gifts. And so, not me though, I like to just tear into it. Anybody are tearers like me? Okay, right. How many are careful openers? Some of you, okay, you're like, that's just who I am. Don't change me. I'm not a good gift guesser either, of what's hidden inside at the present. I'm not. Some people shake and squeeze and they, you know, and they feel it and try to guess what it is. Anybody like that? Anybody like, you can guess exactly what it is? And you're like, oh, you know, you give a gift to somebody and they guess it. You're like, oh man, that spoils the, you know, the mystery. But the wrapping paper, right, it covers up the identity of the present. Or the gift bag, that seems to be getting more, you know, popular. It hides what's inside the bag. Once I rip the wrapping paper off, right, I reveal what's underneath. Once I open the gift bag, I uncover what's inside. There's the element of surprise, the excitement, the mystery, and wonder of what's in there. What is the gift? And most of the time, it's something, you know, I didn't expect. Or something, you know, very meaningful from someone special. But it would be extremely weird if it was my birthday or it was Christmas and somebody handed me a gift and they put it on my lap and I just sat there with it and I didn't open it. And they're like, you know, I'm ready, open it, you know. What am I waiting for, right? The person giving me the gift is waiting in anticipation to see my reaction when I open that gift, right? That's what we all do. We kind of sit around and we're waiting and all of a sudden we open it and, ah, you know, ah, it's what I wanted, cool. It'd be strange if it just sat there on my lap. What are you doing, right? So whether you're a precision gift opener or a frantic paper ripperer, there's wonder, there's excitement, there's anticipation of what's inside. The wrapping or the gift bag is designed to hide the gift's identity. The moment we rip into it or open the gift bag, we reveal the gift. So I got to thinking about it. There are four stages here, right? The gift was given, the gift was received, the gift was opened, and the gift was celebrated by not only the receiver of the gift, but the giver as well. There's a bond that happens. We don't know what's inside the gift, inside the box or the bag, because it's hidden. And so the mystery drives us to reveal it, to see what's inside. We can make all kinds of guesses, wrong guesses, outlandish guesses, and even close guesses. The joke with our family is, you know, my mother-in-law will get a vase and I'll say, oh, that's Bluetooth, you know, it's a vase. It's not Bluetooth, but she's like, oh, really? You know, my family eye rolls, you know, my jokes, and no one laughs. So, but that's my family. But we have all these guesses, right? But until we reveal what's inside that bag, that box, it's just all guesses. It's just a mystery. Back in August of 2022, as a guest speaker, I spoke on the importance of God's Word being foundational in our lives in the message titled, Below the Waterline. Below the Waterline. And like the anchors that hold up the bridge below the surface of the water, right? The Word of God gives us anchors to make us steady and strong when life's storms come and go, right? That bridge is still standing in our life because of the anchors that's beneath the surface. God's Word gives us a solid place to build our lives upon. So I got a series of questions today. Ed's not here to respond, but so just contemplate these songs. We're picking on Ed today. He's not even here. What is our perception, our impression, our knowledge of God? Is he some impersonal force we hope not to get mad at us? Or is he just only a God full of love? Is he fair? Is he a grouch? Is he too busy with other things or people? Just how do we view God? And then answer this question, where do those perceptions or impressions of him, where do they come from? Where do they originate? Maybe as a young child, you know, you prayed for your grandmother to get healed and she dies and anger against God fills your heart. The impression of God is that he doesn't listen or hear or even care about our loved ones. Maybe a best friend moves away, leaving just a gigantic hole in your heart, and we blame God for taking things away from us. Maybe we didn't get the job, or we didn't get the promotion, or the bonus that we prayed for, and our perception of God is that he let us down. He disappointed us. Where was God when this happened in my life? Where was God when that happened in my life? And it solidifies the belief that God isn't interested in us. And we wonder why bad things happen to good people. So we come to the conclusion that God, he doesn't like us. He's punishing us, or he doesn't care what happens to us. And through life's difficulties, what is our view of God? What is our view of God? I'm beginning a new series in this new year titled, God's Word Is. And I want you to hear this morning. As your pastor, there is nothing more important that I can preach or teach or tell you than this. God's Word is all you need. That was pretty weak. God's Word is all you need. Will God's Word help you fix a leaky kitchen sink or organize the hall closet or make a perfect meal for your guests? No. Will God's Word instruct you how to fill out the insurance papers or file your taxes or fix that flat tire? No, of course not. Unless you read the Message. Maybe I'm just teasing. But God's Word goes deeper than those routine tasks. Those are important. It goes beneath the surface into our hearts, which is so much more important. Because if you can change here, it changes out there. The world's opinions and political parties and theories and stories won't be much help to you to live for God. They are constantly changing and changing and changing. The continued attempts in some churches to change the Word of God, to adapt to the life and times that we live in, right? It won't do that you any good either. It will only leave you feeling more disillusioned than ever. Does God's Word speak truth about marriage and relationships and money and work and truth and integrity and respect and so much more? Yes. You see, God's Word is a map. It's a blueprint. It's a light. It's a guide to learn and to know and to love the living God. The title of my message this morning is The Word of God. The Word of God. God's Word is the Word of God. God's Word is the Word of God. You know, some of you are thinking, Wow, that's a very profound statement, Pastor. Isn't it the kind of the same thing? God's word is the word of God. Well, kind of, right? I could say it this way. God's word is the actual words of God. I like to fly. I can't fly. I have to be on an airplane. But I like to fly. I'm not a fan of heights, but it doesn't bother me. I'm seatbelted into a seat. So if it crashes, it crashes, right? But there's something about starting off in one place and then ending up in another place in a short amount of time. There's something about that. You know, some of you like to drive and, you know, 72 hours later, you're there and you're exhausted. You know, in 4 hours, I'm there. I just would rather fly. And as the airplane is going at an average of 550 miles an hour, I look out the window, like most of us do, and I can see massive amounts of land, right? The farmlands look like patches on a quilt, right? And then you see cities and towns, and they're really, really small, and sometimes you see the cars, they're just little specks, little ants. Or you fly over and you see huge mountains jetting up into the sky. As we fly to Utah sometimes to see my family, man, in the Rockies. You know, it's amazing. You look out the window and it's just like, it's unbelievable. Or maybe you're flying somewhere and there's water as far as the eye can see. You know, it's all you can see. And you remember the instructions that this could be a life raft right here. And all those sights and are amazing things to view and to appreciate and to behold and to gaze at God's beautiful creation. But I don't want to stay up in that airplane forever. Eventually, I want to be on land at my destination, up close and personal. Beauty, yes. Amazing, yes. But I don't want to live up there. I want to come down and I want to be people. I want to see on the ground. And like the average cruising altitude of an airplane, I want to start the message series at about 40,000 feet in the air. I want us to see the bigger picture of what the Word of God reveals about God. And as we meet each Sunday, and I hope to see you here, we'll zoom in a little closer and a little closer to reveal what God's Word is. You might be thinking, well, I already know what God's Word is. Others might be thinking, well, I don't understand what the Word of God is. Or still others might be thinking, what's so important about God's Word? Why do we put so much emphasis on this book? Some here have been around the Word of God for many years. Maybe you have an old Bible from a mother or father or a grandparent that is just precious to you because it's the, you know, you read it and you see the notes that they drew and the highlighting and you've been around this a long time. Some have heard the Word of God, but it's difficult to understand. Some know about the Bible, but don't get, you know, what's all the fuss is about. You see, the Word of God reveals God. The Word of God reveals God. The Word of God in its entirety reveals who God is. And as we fly at 40,000 feet this morning, we're seeing that what the Word of God reveals about God. It's like opening a gift. We begin to see who God is by opening the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. God begins to reveal Himself to us through His written Word. And I know that, you know, may sound extremely simple, but the fact remains, God wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants to reveal Himself to us. You see, God can be known. God wants to be known by you and by me. But He won't force us to open the gift. But once we do, as we dig deeper into the gift of the Bible, the Scriptures will reveal God to us. But it doesn't reveal everything to us about Him. We simply couldn't contain it all. And God sometimes spares us because He knows we're limited. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans chapter 11, he wrote a doxology expressing his praise to God and wonder at the mystery of who God is. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says this, "How great are God's riches How deep are his wisdom and knowledge? Who can explain his decision? Who can understand his ways? As the scripture says, who knows the mind of the Lord? Who is able to give him advice? Who has ever given him anything so that he had to pay it back? Verse 36, for all things were created by him, and all things exist through him and for him. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Paul makes some obvious declarations. How great are God's riches? How deep are his wisdom and knowledge, right? It's kind of an understatement, right? We can't even fathom it. Paul then asks some great questions. Who can explain God's decisions? I mean, really, who can do that? Who can understand his ways? The answer, duh, no one. Then Paul quotes the prophet Isaiah's question. Who knows the mind of the Lord? I mean, who is able to give God advice? Duh, no one. Paul goes on to quote the book of Job when he asks, who has ever given to God that God needed to pay them back? Duh, no one. You see, we may not understand God's decisions or understand how and why he does things. But if we did, if we understood everything that God did, he wouldn't be God. No one can get into his head and to know what he's thinking. We often find ourselves scratching our own heads, wondering how God thinks or what his plan is. And we just don't know the mind of the Lord, right? Can we come there? Can we get to that place where it's frustrating sometimes? I just don't understand. Nor do we have any advice or counsel to offer God, but we sure like to try anyway, right? God, I don't know if you know this, but I don't know if you've seen this, but you need some help here. Whatever you think about God, he is so much more than that. I mean, that sentence alone, right? Whatever you think about God, good, bad, or the ugly, he is so much more than that. And the more we study his ways, like the Apostle Paul, the more we begin to offer him praise. The more we dig in and he reveals himself to us, we sit back and go, oh, I can't contain it. He's so good. He's so awesome. He's so holy. The prophet Isaiah calls us in Isaiah 55 to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked people abandon their ways. Let evil people abandon their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, and he will show compassion to them. Let them turn to our God, because he will freely forgive them. And I love this. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You see, God's thoughts and God's ways are not our ways. His ways and thoughts are so much higher than ours. How many are glad for that? How many are glad that God's not down on our level thinking and how we think and how we would do things? Because, wow, train wreck, right? But that shouldn't discourage us. But it should encourage us even more that God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than ours. He can see things at 40,000 feet that we can't see. And that's great news for us. We can trust a God who can see the beginning and the end in our life and everything in between. The Word of God reveals God. It reveals God. See, there are many attributes about who God is in his Word. That's not really my point this morning. My point is to tell you that God's Word, the Scriptures, the Holy Bible, right, reveals God. It reveals him. Earlier I asked the question, what is your view of God? Distant, silent, uncaring, unfair, judgmental? Your answer to that question, what is your view of God, will reveal what's below on the surface in your life. What I believe about God directly impacts how I live my life. Let me say that again. What I believe about God directly impacts how I live my life. Think about it. If you believe that God is distant, why would you pursue him? If you believe that God is uncaring, why would you pray and ask God to meet a need in your life? If you believe that God is unfair, why would you want justice? If you believe that God is judgmental, why would you care what he thinks about you? You wouldn't to any of those questions. What I believe about God directly impacts how I live my life. If you're struggling with your view of God, could there be some wrong perceptions about God that you've learned that aren't true? Could there be some untruths that you picked up when you were younger and have filtered your view of God to this day? Could there be a wound that God wants to heal that's prevented you from fully trusting in him? Would you be willing to seek God despite what you believe? Could 2024 be the year there's a breakthrough in your life? Because you've thought about the question, what I believe about God right now in this moment is impacting and has impacted the way I live my life. It comes back to the Word of God. But like I said, as your pastor, the most important thing I could tell you is everything you need is in this book. This is all you need. Deuteronomy 4:29, search for the Lord your God and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. Where does someone search for God? How do you do that? Sometimes we can be out in the wilderness or be out in nature and we feel the presence of God. Can you feel God then? Yes. You can pretty much feel God in a baby that you hold and you can feel God in so many ways, but primarily it's through his word. This is where you know God. If you will honestly bring your misperceptions about God to God and search for him with all of your heart, you will find him. You will find him. You see, all truth leads to God because God is truth. Sometimes the path that we get to God can be different. He will reveal himself to you. The question is, do you believe that? If you truly want to know him this year, you want to be in fellowship with God, you want to live for him, you want to love and seek him, he will reveal himself to you through his word. See, in a world that's constantly shifting and changing and pushing God out of everything, you can know today that God never changes, that you can build your life upon that, this rock. He's not one thing one day and another thing a different day, right? You just don't know. We're like that, right? Some days we wake up and everything's good and we don't hurt, we're not in pain or something, but the next day we're like, oh, right? We change. One day, you know, we think he's full of love for you and the next day he withdraws it. One day he's patient, the next day he's giving up on you. One day he's forgiving and the next day he retracts it. Hebrews 13:8, you know it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be encouraged today that Jesus is for you. He's not going to pull a fast one on you as you search for him. He's not going to stay hidden and like, oh, can't find me, you can't find me, you can't find me. And we'll keep searching. You find him if you search with all your heart. God gave us his word so we can know him, so we can worship him, so we can love him. The word of God reveals God. So if you want to know God, if you want to know who he is, you must get into the word of God. In technology today, you can listen to the word of God. You can, wherever you're at, the YouVersion, and there's all kinds of tools and ways that to hear the Bible audibly, but sometimes it's reading the book, and sometimes it's a devotional. Even if you've read the Bible cover to cover for years, ask God to give you a fresh wind and a fresh fire for him. As I look around, there's some of you who have been followers of Jesus for a long time. For a long time. If you don't quite understand what you're reading, you know, there are Bible study tools that can help you. There's small groups to join to begin to grow where you just don't give up. Keep reading with an open heart. Ask questions. Again, that's, you know, the way we learn is we ask questions. I don't understand this. What does this mean? da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I didn't know that. That really helps. I can really make a better decision with my life now because of God's word and because who he is. And if you find yourself empty, you find yourself disillusioned in life, maybe you're at the end of yourself, can I encourage you to look up to God? Seek him in God's word. You will find him if you seek him with all of your heart. God's word will reveal God to you. If you don't know where to start, you know, a lot of pastors and preachers would say, start in the New Testament. Start with the book of John. You'll get a picture of who Jesus was. Read the New Testament. Then go back and start reading the Old Testament. I'm trying to make this a habit. Every year I'll take a different translation. And this is my third year. So I will read a translation cover to cover. And then I'll highlight it. And I'll stick that on the shelf. And I grab a different Bible that doesn't have any highlights. And I'll go through it with a different translation, a different perspective. And begin to do that. Some things, you know, 2 Chronicles, son of so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. Okay, God, help me out here. Where's my coffee? And then there's times where you're like, oh, man, I didn't see that before. Oh, my word, look what God said. And God will speak to you. It's having a heart to learn. It's having a heart to grow. God's word will reveal himself to you. But we've got to get into this book. I know every church in America preaches that you've got to get this book, but it's true. It's not about my creative stories and my storytelling and my jokes, and that those things are great. It's this book that will change your life. It's not me. It's not this church. This book. God's word is. There is no other book like the Bible in all of the world. Other books may contain things that are true, that are wise, that are helpful, but there is only one book that contains the very words of God himself, and that's the Bible. And as we read the Bible, we are reading the words of a living God. And I hope and pray that you and I, Peace Chapel, we like that gift, right? We rip open God's word like a present and a gift, and we begin to dig in. And like the gift I gave my sister, you know, we keep discovering more and more of who God is as we dig deeper and deeper into this book. God's word is the words of God. And the word of God reveals God. And the more we dig in, the more we'll know. Yes, we'll be, that's important that we'll grow, but importantly, more importantly, we will see and know God and know his glory. God can be known. So, January 7th, start a new habit, getting into God's word. The YouVersion app is a great way you can get others to be involved. You know, on Wednesday nights, Thursday mornings, the Bible Engagement Project, where you can go from cover to cover and really dig into God's word. But you're not doing it alone. I encourage you to be a part of a small group Sunday morning. You know, Wednesday night men's. If you're able to come, to grow, to be a part. But obviously those are important, but you need to be on your own. You know, the Bible says to go into your prayer closet and pray and seek the Lord. Find that place. Maybe it's a drive to work. Maybe it's a drive home from work. Find a place where you can be alone with the Lord and just shut everything else out and just say, God, I want to know you. God will speak to you, but he'll speak to you through his word. And I know there's every hand would probably go up if I said, you've been reading, going through something, and you read something, and God spoke to you at the exact moment that you needed to hear what you were going through, and you knew it was God. That's what he does. But we've got to crack open this book.